Turn with me, please, in God's Word to 1 Samuel and the chapter 21. And we'll read from the first verse through to the end of verse 1 of chapter 22. And then we'll read just three verses from Psalm 56. Turning first of all to 1 Samuel and to the chapter 21. 1 Samuel 21. Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, "Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" David said unto Ahimelech the priest, "The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servant to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present." The priest answered David, and said, "There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hollowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest, and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days, since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hollowed bread, for there was no bread there, but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled upon the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, "Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" David therefore departed thence, and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And then we'll turn to Psalm 56. Psalm 56, and we'll read just the first 3 verses of the psalm. Psalm 56 and the verse 1. "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." A few years back, one day I was rushed personally into hospital with palpitations of the heart. I had been unwell, as I do be periodically, but I'd been unwell, and I had laid down in the afternoon just in the couch for a little rest, and it had been a period of bad weather. There's nothing new about that in the land in which we live, but it had dried up for a little while, and the grass needed cutting the lawn, and I wakened and I jumped up and I went out to start the lawnmower to let the young fella do the mowing. But as I went round the first or second cut of the lawn, I knew something was wrong. My heart was beating at well over twice the rate that it should have been. And I suppose that at that particular time I was on the verge of a heart attack. In fact, I thought that day, as I sat in a little ledge in the windowsill, I thought that I had taken a heart attack. My father had taken one in about the same age as I had been. But at that time, I remember being in the hospital in Craigavon Area Hospital for 5 days because of the pain or the heaviness that there was in my chest. And I will be honest, there's not much that would cause me to be afraid. I have learned to go on and to take life and to face up to it, but there's not much that I would be afraid of. But I can tell you, folks, that I was afraid at that time. And there was times that I lay in that little side ward in the hospital, and I was afraid of the health. I was afraid of the condition of my heart. I was afraid of what the future held out for me at that particular time. Wondering, I lay there wondering if I would be ever able to return to the pulpit and to take up all the duties of the ministry again. I lay there afraid that I would never be able to go back into the work again and to take the responsibilities. But I think it was on the fifth day of my time there in the hospital, a nurse came into my side ward with a card. It was a card that the Reverend David Crane, from the retired minister from our Lurgan Church, he had sent to me. And on the inside of the card was this very text. It was a word from the Lord himself. It was this verse: "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." And God spoke to me. Because there I was lying in the hospital ward, I was afraid. Why was I afraid? Because I had taken my eyes off the Lord. And here was a little word of encouragement, a word of rebuke. I was so full of fear, wasn't trusting God. God just gave me a little word of rebuke and a word of encouragement. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." God spoke to me that day, and that's exactly what I did. I set aside my fears, I trusted God, and I came home. I'm back into the work, and I've been in the work, and God has kept me in the work ever since. And today I'm still trusting him. Back in the year 1799, when Napoleon's army was sweeping across Europe, one Easter Sunday morning, his general by the name of Massena, he appeared with 18,000 men on the hills overlooking the city or the town of Feldkirch on the Austrian border. That Easter Sunday morning, the sun shone on the banners and the shields of the soldiers. It was an awesome sight for the people down in the town, terrifying for the people down in the valley below. Well, the town council, they met in an emergency meeting to decide what course of action that they should take. And there were two suggestions that were put forth at that meeting. The first was to send out a deputation of men to Napoleon's army and to his general, and to try to broker some sort of a peace deal with them. The second suggestion was to batten down the hatches and in the face of 18,000 soldiers to try and to defend the little town. But during the meeting, the dean of the church, he stood up and he reminded those that were gathered, the town council reminded them that this was Easter Sunday morning and that they'd been remembering the Lord's death and the resurrection of Christ for the previous week. And then he advised them that they should continue on remembering and celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Then he said to them, said, let us ring the bells and trust God. Well, the council accepted his advice. And soon the bells of two or three, four churches were heard all over the countryside. And up in the hills, Napoleon's general, Massena, he listened to the bells as they tolled, and as he did, he came to the conclusion that the Austrian army had arrived to defend the town, and he turned around to 18,000 soldiers and he gave the order to break camp and to prepare to leave. And that's what they did. And the town that day, that Easter Sunday morning, the town was preserved, it was kept, it was protected by the intervention of God without one effort of the people of the town. Let us ring the bells and trust God. The psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. That was good advice from the lips of the psalmist David, but sadly David wasn't able to say that at every instant in his life. He had to learn the lesson the hard way. For in 1 Samuel chapter 21, we read of how David, instead of trusting God, David went down to Gath, and he went down to the pagan king Achish to seek protection there. Out of fear, David took his eyes from off the Lord, and he forsook the Lord, and he sought the company and the protection and the help of the ungodly. In the New Testament, we could say the very same thing about Peter, who after all his boasting and his bragging, out of fear in the Garden of Gethsemane, David forsook the Lord. But whenever we think of David in the Old Testament and Simon Peter in the New Testament, we think of them and how they forsook the Lord out of fear, and yet both men were restored again. They might have forsook the Lord. They might have been fearful. But they were restored again unto the Lord. And yet through their failures and their forsaking and their fear, their faith in God was strengthened. But don't we all get afraid at times? And especially don't we get afraid when we take our eyes off the Lord? Isn't that the experience of everyone? Maybe it's the experience of someone today. You're in church this morning and you're fearful of what the week that lies before you is going to bring. You're fearful maybe of going home today because you're waiting on news. Maybe you're fearful of tomorrow and what you have to face. And out of fear, you've taken your eyes off the Lord and your intrepidation this morning. I trust this is a word for you. And if you're not fearful at the moment, to believe me, there's going to be days whenever you'll be fearful. And I trust that you'll lay this word up in your heart, that whenever you face those times of fear, you'll know who to turn to. Turn to the Lord. But today I want us to consider how to trust the Lord in the midst of all our fears. Now, firstly, notice the fear that David felt. The fear that David felt. We'll keep it simple. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, it reminds us of how, of a most dramatic incident in David's life when his life was in great danger. David, previous to this, had been chosen and anointed of God to replace King Saul. King Saul had forgotten the Lord. Out of pride, he had left the Lord out of his life. And so Saul, he's out to get David. He knows that David has been chosen, appointed and anointed of God to be king in his place. And Saul, he's out to get David, to slay David and to put David to death. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 21 in the verse 10, David is being hunted down by Saul. And so we read, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Achish was the pagan king of the Philistines. The Philistines, they were the enemies of God and the enemies of God's people. But David, here he is, he's afraid of Saul. And instead of trusting God, David sought the protection of this pagan king in the pagan city of Gath. Well, we've heard about out of the fire and into the frying pan, or out of the frying pan and into the fire. And that's what it was for David. For when he came into Gath, people didn't trust David. And whenever David came into Gath, if the king had have given them the word, the people of Gath would have slain David in a moment. Indeed, it would seem that as soon as David came into the city of Gath, the people, they recognized who David was, and they came to Achish the king, saying, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him and dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? The people, they simply didn't trust David. They recognized him, they didn't trust him, and they would have slain him in a moment. All the king had to do was give the word. But David, here he is, he has taken his eyes off the Lord. And he has failed to trust the Lord to protect him and to keep him. And when he did, what did he do? He done his own thing. And here he is. He has done his own thing and he's seeking refuge. You see, when we do our own thing, it takes us away from God. And David was doing his own thing and it was taking him away from God, and it's brought him. He's seeking refuge amongst the Philistines, amongst the enemies of God. And in doing so, he only went out of the frying pan into the fire. He only went and put himself into greater danger and into imminent danger, for the people recognized him and they were about to slay him. But that's what happens every time that we fail to trust the Lord. What do we do when we fail to trust the Lord? What do? We do our own thing. Oh, we may think that we're clever and think that we know what is best for us. But when we take our eyes from off the Lord and stop trusting him, when we take our eyes off the Lord and do our own thing, we're only fools. We're only fools. But anyhow, when David realized the danger that he had put himself in, David feigned himself mad. He pretended to be a madman. And when we see David here in 1 Samuel chapter 21, what a performance David gave. Instead of trusting God, he goes down into Gath and he ends up acting a madman. Indeed, God didn't forsake David, even though David had forsaken him and went down to Gath. God hadn't forsaken David. For God enabled David to perform so convincingly that Achish, the king of Gath, thought that he was a madman or a demon-possessed maniac. And eventually, Achish, he really expelled him out of the city. In verses 13 to 15, after David knew that the people didn't trust him and would gladly have slain him, we read in verse 13, and he changed his behavior before them. David done this deliberately. David knew what he was doing. He changes his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled upon the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. You see, so what a performance. What a performance. God's enabling him to play the fool, play the madman. There he is, he's scrabbling at the door. The spittle's running down onto his beard. Achish is watching this. Then in verse 14 we read, "Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see the man is mad." The word means insane. What a performance. "Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Achish, he didn't want David in his house because he probably thought that David was possessed with demons. David acted so convincingly. Achish thought he was a madman, that he was insane. Probably thought that he was demon-possessed. And so we read in chapter 22 in the verse 1, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when David wrote this psalm in Psalm 56, it is believed that David was referring back to the time when he had foolishly went down to Gath in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel. And he's thinking of that time, not only when he went down to Gath, but when he fled from Gath. David recalls very vividly how he had taken his eyes from off the Lord and gotten himself into danger. And David had learned through his foolishness. David had learned through his mistakes. So I don't mind a man being foolish. I don't mind a man making mistakes if he learns from them. But David had learned from his mistakes. And here he is. He's sitting thinking here about that time when he went down to Gath and fled from it. And he says in the future, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He says, I've made a fool of myself once. I've taken my eyes off the Lord once. But he says, in the future, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And we think of that time in Peter's life, when Peter, like David, was afraid. Here was Peter, he's in the boat in the midst of the storm. But when the Lord came, and when Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee. And when the Lord said, come, remember how Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked upon the water. And when he kept his eyes on the Lord and trusted the Lord, he walked well. But then Peter took his eyes from off the Lord. What happened? Same thing as what happens every time God's people take their eyes off the Lord. They begin to feel. They begin to fear. There was Peter, he's doing well. He has his eyes on the Lord. He's trusting the Lord. He's walking on the water, but then he takes his eyes off the Lord and he sees the wind boisterous. And when he looks at the wind and the boisterous sea, he begins to fear. He takes his eyes off the Lord. He begins to fear and he begins to look at the circumstances and he begins to sink. But then he fixes his eyes on the Lord again. He says, Lord, save me. And you know what? The Lord reached down and lifted him up out from the watery grave. The Lord reached out and lifted him up from his failures. Lifted him out of his fears. Peter got his eyes back on the Lord, so did David. And maybe you have taken your eyes off the Lord. And that's why you're so fearful today. Oh, fix your eyes on the Lord. He'll take you by the hand. He'll lift you out of your fears. He'll let you walk again. Isn't it so true that what happened to David in the Old Testament and what happened to Peter in the New happens to us all? When something alarms us and when we begin to fear, we take our eyes off the Lord and we do our own thing. And we get ourselves into deeper danger. And whenever we take our eyes off the Lord in the midst of our fears, you know what happens? We begin to sink. And our fears and our worries begin to overflow us. And we begin to sink in our times of worry. There are times when even the strongest amongst us are afraid and we begin to tremble and we take our eyes off the Lord. Maybe it's sickness and pain. Maybe it's the fear of what's wrong. We don't know what's wrong. Maybe it's the fear of surgery. They all raise questions and worries and fears, even with the strongest of us. Maybe there's financial circumstances. Maybe there's someone this morning and it's financial difficulties that increases the stress and the fears within us. They rise up. We don't know how we're going to get through. We don't know how we're going to make it. And instead of holding on to that, we verse, "My God shall provide all your needs." We take our eyes off the Word. We take our eyes off the Lord and begin to worry and we begin to fear and we begin to sing. Doesn't that happen to us? Maybe there's an unsympathetic husband. Maybe there's an unsympathetic wife within the home. And we have our worries and their fears, but they don't show any understanding. There's no compassion. There's no sympathy there. Maybe there's a fear of strife when things go wrong. And you're constantly afraid of what the other's going to say. We're afraid of what they're going to do. Maybe we're afraid because of the children. What will become of them? What are they going to turn to next? I'm a father. I know all about it. Maybe that's your fear. Maybe that's your worry this morning. All these things to worry about. All these things to think about. All these things that cause worry and fear in our lives. But do we need to really worry about them? Do we need to be so afraid of them? The psalmist says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Maybe it's the children. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it's pain. Maybe it's finance that's causing you to worry today. Oh, listen, there's no need to get over anxious. Trust in the Lord. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Are you going through the valley of the shadow? Trust the Lord. We're only going through, and he will bring us through. Are you fearful? Have you taken your eyes off the Lord? Get them fixed on him again. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a great shepherd. There's the fear that David felt. There's the company that David sought. When David was afraid of King Saul, his fears and distress drove him to seek help outside of the will of God. Here's the man after God's own heart. And in 1 Samuel chapter 21, he's outside of the will of God. Can a child of God get outside the will of God? Yes. Yes, they can. Here's David, and he's outside the will of God, for he sought the company and the protection of Achish, the pagan king of the Philistines, in the pagan city of Gath. He's not in the will of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, the time had come for David to flee from the palace and away out of the presence of Saul. Saul, in chapter 20 of 1 Samuel, had made a vow that he would kill David, whom God had chosen and anointed and appointed to be king in place of him. Indeed, if we go back even to 1 Samuel in the chapter 19 and the verse 10, Saul had already made an attempt on David's life, tried to kill him. For in 1 Samuel 19 in the verse 10 we read, "And Saul sought to smote David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night." Saul had already made an attempt on David's life. The same night Saul sent, as we read in 1 Samuel 19 verse 11, Saul sent messengers onto David's house to watch him and to stay, to slay him in the morning. And again, to escape Saul's murderous plan, David's wife Michal had to let him down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Saul had already made attempts to slay David. Now, at that time, after chapter 19 and chapter 20. At that time, David went to Samuel, the prophet in Ramah. David sought the company of God's servant, of God's prophet. And he went to Samuel and he told him all about Saul and what Saul was doing. David was wise and he sought, at first he sought the presence and the company and the advice of the man of God. And we read in chapter 19, verse 18, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. And there in the company of God's servant, David was safe. In the company of God's servant, God protected David by confounding Saul and Saul's messengers who had come to kill him. Time forbids us to go into the details of it all, but you can read it for yourself in 1 Samuel 19 and 20. But suffice to say that for as long as David was in the right company and in God's will and in the will of a company of God's people, David was safe. Saul couldn't touch him. But then David fled from Samuel at Naoth. And when he knew that he couldn't go back to the palace and that Saul was determined to kill him, David sought the help of Ahimelech, the priest at Nob, where the tabernacle was. Now, when Ahimelech knew that David had fallen out of fear and out of favor with Saul, and when Ahimelech knew that Saul wanted to kill him, Ahimelech, he was afraid to have David in his company. Now, unfortunately, David told Ahimelech a lie to get Ahimelech to help him. David, he deceived Ahimelech. And Ahimelech did help David. Ahimelech gave to David the showbread from the tabernacle. And he also gave him the sword of Goliath that he had under the ephod or behind the ephod. But it cost Ahimelech his life and the life of 85 of the priests, those that wore the ephod, and also the lives of those that dwelt in the city of Nob. For Saul sent his men down and they slew them. The people of Nob, Ahimelech and the priests, they suffered because of David's deception. Oh, things could have been, and no doubt would have been, so different. If only if David had been upfront and honest. But David wasn't. David, he had gotten away. But he left Ahimelech and the others to suffer the consequences of his deception and his lies. You see, sin always has its consequences. And Ahimelech and the others, they bore the consequences of it. But at the first, David sought the company of God's people. He sought the company of Samuel, the prophet, and he sought the company of Ahimelech, the priest. But the slide had already begun. For David had deceived Ahimelech. The slide had already begun. And when we think about it, it's hardly surprising that the next company that David sought was the company of the ungodly. David was afraid. He had took his eyes from off the Lord, and what happened? He began to deceive. And then he sought the company of the wrong people. He stepped outside of the will of God. In the flick of a coin, we might say, David had forsaken the company of Samuel the prophet and the company of Ahimelech the priest, but now he's in the company of Achish, the Philistine king of Gath. The company that he sought. Ungodly company. Outside the will of God. We think of Peter and you remember what happened to Peter that night in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Savior was arrested. Peter had boasted that he would never deny or forsake the Lord. All the disciples did, but Peter was the first to boast, saying, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Peter boasted. He says, I'll never forsake thee. And even though when they came to arrest the Savior, even though Peter took the sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear, still after that, Peter fled away out of the garden. out of fear, fled with the rest. But the next time we meet Peter, where do we find him? Where do we find Peter? He's in the wrong company. He's among the wrong people, standing at the fire, warming himself. And what does Peter do? What did Peter do as he stood there by the fire in the wrong company with the others? Peter denied the Lord with curses and with oaths. Peter had forsaken all his principles. He turned his heel on everything that he had said. And he denied his Lord with curses and with oaths. He took his eyes off the Lord. And he began to fear. He sought the protection of the wrong company. He ended up cursing the Lord. David, out of fear and lack of trust in God, sought out and joined himself onto the wrong company. And it nearly cost David his life. For he had to pretend to be a madman and to scratch at the gate like someone possessed with a demon and the spittle running down his mouth. And Peter, out of fear and out of a lack of trust in God, he joined himself onto the wrong company. And what did Peter do? The same as David. He risked his life. He denied the Lord and he marred his testimony. Both of them were good men. But both of them had temporarily lost sight of the mighty power of God to keep them. And they joined themselves to the wrong people, got into the wrong company, all because of the fear of man. Indeed, Solomon, in Proverbs 29, the verse 25, he wrote, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Perhaps Solomon had learned it from his father David. Maybe David sat down and not only wrote this Psalm 56, but maybe he sat down and said, "Solomon, I want to tell you something, son." And he took Solomon, and maybe David told him about his foolish episode in his life and told him, "Solomon, my son, never be afraid of man or what man can do unto you, but trust in the Lord. Solomon, never fear man. Trust the Lord, and the Lord will protect you. You'll be safe when you trust in him." And Solomon, he learned the lesson, and he said, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Can I say this? That so often in times of fear, don't we tend to forsake the Lord? We tend to do our own thing. And what happens then? We seek the help of the ungodly. We forsake the Lord out of fear, and like Peter, we're found in the wrong places, mingling with the wrong people, and we put ourselves into danger, and we mar our testimony. David done the same. What about you? Are you? Have you been afraid? Who are you going to see? Who have you been with? Where have you been? Have you been in the wrong places with the wrong people? If that's where you're at today, oh, come back. Come back. Your fears may still be there, but in the midst of your fears, trust the Lord. He'll see you through. But then we notice quickly the deliverance that David received. Even though David had stepped out of God's will and went to Gath, God didn't forsake him. Doesn't he say, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee"? And even in that dark hour of danger, God was with him and God kept him. And God enabled him to act in such a way that King Achish was glad to get rid of David. He probably thought that David was demon-possessed and he was afraid to kill David and to be left with the demons. And so we read in 1 Samuel 22 in the verse 1, "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam." God delivered him safely out of that danger. Could say the same for Peter. He was standing around the fire with the enemies of Christ, but God delivered him even after Peter had been recognized by the little damsel. God still delivered him. Even though David and Peter had stepped out of the will of God and had placed themselves in great danger, the Lord never forsook them. But in mercy, God kept them and God delivered them. But both of them, you'll notice what both of them had to do. They had to leave the company that they'd went into. They had to leave that company and get out. I wonder, are you mingling with the wrong company? In with the wrong crowd? In the wrong place? Put yourself in the place of danger and temptation. If so, it's time this morning to do what David did and what Peter did. It's time to stand to your feet and walk away. Trust God and walk away and come back to the Lord. Again, child of God, what time you are afraid, trust in Him. I'll finish with a little illustration. In a town in Canada, the local parks committee had been ordered to cut down a row of trees to widen a certain street in the town. But as the workmen began their work, the foreman, he noticed that in one of the trees a bird had built its nest. They noticed also that the mother bird was still sitting on her eggs to hatch them out. And so the foreman, he ordered the men to leave the tree standing until the little birds were hatched and had left the nest. And so they did, and when they cut the tree down and removed the nest, they found something in it. It was a small piece of white card from a Sunday school class. And printed on that little card were the words, "We trust in the Lord our God." The story was printed in the local newspaper, and it was recorded that a very discouraged minister — do ministers get discouraged? Brother, you can tell them. Yes, we do. But a very discouraged minister, he read the story about the bird and the little card, "We trust in the Lord our God." And the minister that was discouraged, he took it as a message sent by God for him. And he took heart again. He thought to himself, if God could and would protect a nest of Canadian robins, then God could protect them. And God would protect. And child of God, let me say to you, God can and God will protect you. But you've got to keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on Him. Child of God, trust in the Lord. Remember the words of Psalm 56, verse 3. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Child of God, keep your eyes on the Lord. Maybe you're a backslider this morning. Maybe you've taken your eyes off the Lord. Maybe you've never been saved. You've never put your eyes on the Lord. And you find yourself in danger. You are. Eternal danger. Not saved. Still in your sin. Lost. Bound for a Christless eternity. Oh, let us all, unsaved one, backslider, child of God, let us fix our eyes on the Lord today. Let us trust Him for all of our needs. Backslider, He'll restore you. Unsaved one, He'll save you. Child of God, He'll keep you. But let us keep our eyes on Him and trust today in the Lord.